For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Hey guys, hope you're well. Thanks for listening to the No Bad Dogs podcast. This is an incredible podcast about a Cane Corso who is pushing buttons, but nothing I've ever heard before. What that means is this dog is a 15-month-old Cane Corso that is pushing boundaries just because he can, and he finds it cheeky, and he finds it funny, and he finds it that he can. And so it's not the normal redirection. The dog is redirecting, causing bruising, causing tons of stress. And so this is a good podcast for you guys to kind of like dive into other aspects of redirection, because it was the first time I've ever heard a dog redirecting, not because they're frustrated from another dog or another person. And the first time I've seen a dog, well, not the first time, but one of the first times I've seen a dog redirect off of an owner, not to hurt them, but to just stop them. So it's interesting. So that's why I'm putting it out, because I think it'll be helpful for you guys. Enjoy the podcast. As you guys know, maybe or maybe not, I am going on a world tour. We're going to be in England. We're going to be in Australia. We're going to do Denver, Seattle, Denver, Seattle. What's the other one? Well, I'm doing one in New York as well. Canada. Yeah, we're coming to Canada. So all the seminar information is linked in the description in the show notes. And hopefully I hope to see you guys this year. All right, bye.
Or it's a training issue.
Okay.
We have a 15-month-old Corso. He's entire, and he's not the first Cane Corso we've had, but he is very different to the other Corsos we've had. He's quite a live wire, and since November he has started redirecting onto me, not all the time, just intermittently. Mm-hmm. And he did it on Wednesday, and he really hurt me. It took me about 10 minutes of being dragged around because I can't stand still. He's too strong now. Mm-hmm. And he was mouthing my arms, so both of my forearms were really badly bruised, and my hands as well. And it's kind of knocking my confidence, which isn't helping. I understand that. You did a reaction to one of your videos. It was with a Dutch shepherd who,
yep,
the one who was quite dominant.
Yep.
Oben doesn't have that build up, and he doesn't have that aggression. He's not aggressive, and he's not actually a reactive dog, but he jumps on me and wraps his front legs around me. And obviously the getting hold of my arms is a real problem now. He doesn't behave the same way with my husband. He will jump at him and be silly, but it's really with me that this redirection is happening.
Okay.
So I'm obviously doing something that I shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. He's intact, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And when he's redirecting, what is he? Is he focusing on dogs or is he focusing on people?
No, he doesn't react to anything else. He just redirects onto me randomly. And on Wednesday, I was up in our garden and I was doing some training with him. Mm-hmm. And I called him in, put him back on the leash to walk down the lane back to the house. And that's when he redirected on me. And I understand that was his frustration. He obviously didn't want to go. He wanted to stay in place. So he took it out on me.
So when you were trying to get him, when you were trying to get him to go and do something, he then redirected on you.
Yes, I was taking him away from the garden space. I think he wanted to stay and play. Mm-hmm. And because I removed him from what he wanted to do, he just took it upon himself to jump all over me. And I didn't have a prong collar on him. I had a flat collar on him. And I just could not get him to calm down and listen to me or to engage with me. He'd been absolutely fine during the training, no problem. And as soon as I took him out to go back down to the house, he just had a bit of a seizure.
Yep. And when he is redirecting on you, what is that? I know you got bruises and stuff. What is he? Is he biting you, or is he what? Is he mouthing you? How does? I'm just trying to figure out how a gigantic, powerful corso is redirecting without doing more damage than the bruising.
Yeah, he's mouthing. He's not aggressive. It's just so bizarre. He's not aggressive.
Yep.
But when he was younger, as in a puppy, he would not sleep. He's got terrible FOMO. So he can't not be with you. And our other dogs are often like that. They're kind of like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he wants to be with us. And he doesn't, the other thing he doesn't do well with is a lot of movement. Generally he's just much more of a live wire, but not in an aggressive way.
Okay. So what do you think it feels like? Is it like a frustration, if you're trying to get him to go one direction and he doesn't want to go, it sounds to me he's jumping up, he's grabbing you, he's trying to stop you. Is that correct?
Yes, I personally believe it's out of frustration, because he's being asked to do, well, he's not being asked, he's being told to do something that he doesn't necessarily want to do, in the same way that I think a lot of corsos can be obstinate and stubborn, and I know you have talked about that with Burley as well. It's that, I don't want to do that. Thank you very much. I don't want to do this. So I think it's all wrapped up in that. But how do I correct it? That's what I'm struggling with, Tom. I don't know how to correct that behavior.
Well, let's talk about some of the reasons why it could be happening, and then we'll dive into the correcting. So if it's not happening to, you said, your husband ever, then like you said, there's something going on with you and him. And it could be, what I will see oftentimes is dogs who will, I feel like it's like taking advantage is the way that I see it. Dogs will take advantage of certain people And so you also have to remember you have, you know, you have a, I know what you know, I know that you know what you have, but you have a giant, very protective, pushy, intact dog. I mean, it's all the things that you can make a dog be defiant. The breed, the age, and the dog not being fixed, which is totally fine. I mean, I have one of those myself. I get it. I'm just saying, it doesn't surprise me, is what I'm trying to say. So if you told me, hey, Tom, I got a 15-month-old Connie Corso that's intact and he's kind of giving me a hard time, I'd go, and? What else? Right? So yeah. So it makes sense. Yeah. And typically I see dogs that act like this, they will do it because the way that you handle the situation. And I'm not saying that in certainty with specifically you. It's just the way that people will handle the situation typically is a conversation. So let's say you're wanting the dog to go out of the garden or wherever, and he says, nope, puts on his brakes, and then you turn around and you talk to him and you say, come on, we got to go. I'm late. I don't want to stay out here anymore. Let's go. And there isn't this momentum. There isn't this, no, we're moving. This isn't a conversation. This isn't up for debate. But once you start, because here's what happens to the dog is, let's say, and this is why dogs respond so well to professionals, dog trainers, because they understand this concept. So the moment I get a dog on like this, I grab the leash, I start walking, he puts on the brakes, he pumps a little bit, jumps a little bit, and I just keep moving. I don't even turn back. I don't even look at him. I don't say anything. I just consistently just, nope, this actually isn't an option of not going. This is what we're doing. And so if you have the opposite effect of that, it'll immediately tell the dog that they actually can resist and get away with what they want to do. They can push the envelope. They can get away with it. That's the first thing I would say, is that. That's like the number one thing why dogs are defiant and physically pushing back, is because they can. It's that simple. The other thing is I see a lot of this in other aspects in the dog's relationship. So similar to what I was just talking about, it bubbles up into other parts of the relationship. So examples, very common examples would be maybe your husband says, dog, sit, and you ask him, sit, and we kind of like do this dance around. So if you have a 15-month-old intact Corso, they will specifically be looking for opportunities to push. And if you give them these opportunities and give them a reason, it's like being in court and somebody just basically admits that they're the one who did it, right? It makes it so easy for a dog to go bing, 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 hammer, hammer, hammer. And so if you don't have that ability to confidently push forward throughout the day with the dog, that's where the dog starts going, I can get away with some things that I can't get away with other people. And those are the reasons. Does any of that, do you feel like, fall in your lap?
So I'm actually the one who does the majority of the obedience work. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who insists that when he goes to his place, he stays there until he is broken from that space. My husband, he doesn't always approach things with the same rigor as I do. Mm-hmm. So I totally get the, yes, there are times when relationships and dogs go wrong because there aren't those parameters in place, and there isn't that engagement with the leader, if you see what I mean. I would say in this case that's not actually happening.
Okay.
I do feel that Oban has a good relationship with me. He does engage with me, absolutely. It's just this one thing that comes out of nowhere, and it's a mystery to me. I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. So what about the first thing I said? Do you feel like when he puts on his brakes and decides he doesn't want to do something, do you have a conversation with him, or do you push him forward? Like, do you give him that leeway?
No, typically not. I can be probably a bit more in his face than I should be, mm-hmm. in the sense that I can come down on him really hard and not give him that leeway, because I know that he will take it. So I kind of maybe go a bit over the line sometimes in the tone that I use. I won't let him get away with pushing me around. But okay, you're right. As I said before, I think it's perhaps something to do with frustration, and also because he's a stroppy bloody teenager at the moment.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. It's that exact age. Okay, so if you're not doing the things that typically come from this, what are some other things that you're, are there anything else that you're having problems with? Okay, what do you do when he redirects? So he starts jumping on the leash and coming after you. What do you do?
Usually I stand still. I don't say anything to him. If I have a prong collar on him, I will try and, you know, as you show in your videos, to do that flick with your wrist.
Yep.
But he just, then what he will do is he will start running in circles. And that's when I don't have the strength, and he just pulls me around. And at that point, I've lost the battle. I know I have. So the only thing I can do is hang on, not say anything to him, don't look at it, hang on until he calms down.
Okay. Do you feel like he is just? It doesn't, to me, it doesn't sound like he's super aggressive, and it doesn't sound like he's actually trying to hurt you or anything. Do you feel like he is actually just trying to be defiant and rude and pushing back, and like you said, these teenage years and seeing we can get away with it? Is that what you feel like, or is there anything else?
Yes.
Okay.
No. I mean, we do have a trainer locally who we have worked with before.
Mm-hmm.
And she threw out at me, oh, perhaps you need to go and get him checked out by a vet, because there's some kind of, it's particularly common in spaniels and things where they have this rage.
No.
This is not that. This is him being, as you say in British English, he's setting his lip up. He is being defiant. He's saying, come on then, come on. You can't better me. I'm going to pull you around. Personally, I think that's what it is. Because if he wanted to do damage to me, he could do some serious damage.
Yes, and it's not consistent. So, yeah, there
exactly.
A lot of trainers, here's what I've seen a lot of trainers do nowadays. They throw around this this rage syndrome like it's like they used to throw around alpha. And it's just an excuse to say, I don't really know what this is and what to do about it, but I can tell you that it's rage syndrome and there's nothing you could do about it, which is not true.
As an educator, I've worked in schools all my life, but the one thing that really annoys me is when people try and put a label on a child, saying, oh, they have this, that's why they're behaving like that. No. So my reaction to what she said was exactly the same. No, you're just trying to put a label on it because you don't know.
Yeah, okay, good. Same page. Okay, so, okay, here's what I would do is, I just want to go down a couple avenues with you. If you have a dog that is redirecting, typically the redirection of dogs is frustration based towards something that they're reacting to. So typically it's, there's another dog, that's why I asked you, is their dog reactive, they're human reactive, they go out for a walk, they see a dog, they see a person, and then they redirect out of frustration. To me, it sounds like he's doing the equivalent to pancaking and not wanting to walk by just jumping on you to stop your momentum. And I've seen this before happen. And remind me again, when you correct with the prong, you feel like it doesn't work at all. I know you just talked about it, but remind me.
No, I find it very difficult to correct with the prong
because the timing
when he's jumping all over me because I can't get any purchase.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Without sort of dragging him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't do anything.
Okay, so if you feel like it's this defined moment where he is coming after you because he's being stubborn and defiant and pushy and seeing what he can get away with, my likely strategic plan here would probably be, especially if he overpowers you, like if he's just bigger, stronger, and he's just going to continue to get bigger. He's not going to get any smaller, let's say that. I would move to maybe the vibration from a remote collar to see if that helps stop the jumping.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I wondered if you would suggest that, yes.
Well, because it's been very successful in the past for things like this. And here's why, is if it's not coming from a state of, I'm very pissed off, I'm very frustrated, I need to put this anger or frustration or stress into something, which would be you, that's not the case. This is just, I don't want to walk, I've seen this with dogs. I did a session with a dog in Netherlands this last year, and it was the same thing. Big herding dog, and he just picked on his owner all day long.
Yes.
Same thing. picked on her owner all day long. Just jumped on her, tried to stop her, and she would react. She wouldn't react too bad, but she would. So he would jump, and she would stop. He would jump, she would stop. He would jump, she would turn, yell at him, for, you know, I think warranted, you know, like, hey, stop, like you're headbutting me. And so in Netherlands, you can't use these types of equipment, but I'm sure she found a trainer that does use that. But that would have been an easy correction to do, especially if you have a really big, powerful dog and you can't get the timing right and you have to. And the reality is every dog has different sensitivity levels, and the bigger dogs are very, very, very well, in my experience anyway, they're not too sensitive to prong collar corrections because of how big they are. They're just not sensitive to that. Like I could correct my dog on the prong collar and he really doesn't even look at me. Like he just doesn't care. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just muscle or whatever. I don't know. But the e-collar vibration is just a really easy way to time the correction perfectly. So as soon as he comes up, you buzz him on the remote collar pager on the vibration. And typically, the cool thing about bigger dogs is they're also very sensitive to remote collars, which is nice. So that would be the first line of defense. Anytime I have somebody who can't physically get the correction down for whatever reason, I would use that. I mean, that's why the remote collar was invented. So that's where I would lean to, because that would be extremely efficient in this process.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, that's why I said in the beginning, these are if your dog is redirecting out of frustration or aggression, etc., then you have to be a lot more strategic about when, why, and how you correct the dog, because you don't want to make the dog more ticked off. You don't want to have the dog redirect harder on you, and you don't want to confuse the dog. But in this case, it sounds like it's a classic case of the dog is jumping all over you because he wants to take advantage of you and doesn't want to go inside and doesn't want to go this way and doesn't want to go that way. And so so put it this way, you grab the leash and you say, hey, we're going this way. He knows that if he jumps on you and does this little hissy fit and grab you, it stops it. He knows that. He knows the immediate thing. Like if he doesn't want, it's like a dog that doesn't want to go inside. They won't recall. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if
mm-hmm.
I don't go towards you, I won't have to go inside. So he's thinking, if I know that if I jump all over you, I don't have to go wherever you want me to go. So
yeah.
it's a good option to start with. And it's really that it's actually that cut and dry is the correction that you're using right now is hard to get the timing down for those reasons.
Yes, and I'm not able to correct effectively, it's only exacerbating the whole situation.
For both of you, because he knows, he sees you getting, and hears you getting frustrated, and he's like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I wanted, you know? So I would just say moving on to a pager or vibration from a remote collar, which is very, very, very valuable in situations like this, because I use it all the time for people who have large dogs and they physically can't hold the dog. Like I force my wife to, when she goes out to walk Burley, I'm like, you need the e-collar, because I don't care if you have the prong collar or whatever other collar. If he wants to go, he's going. And same thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really strong and he's really low to the ground. I mean, he's just the perfect dog to be able to say, I'm pulling you if I want to. And so the e-collar just allows us to have that spectrum without fighting this dog. Same thing. I have an intact, about 15 month old, Borble, same thing. Like when he wants to do something and you physically want, like if you physically wanted to try to fight him, he's going to win 100%. And even times I do wrestle him just for fun and he'll win. He's so strong. You can't hold him down. You can't keep him into position. He's so strong. So the e-collar is just a really good way to discourage a behavior literally lifting one finger. And that's the most efficient way to start this.
Okay.
What questions do you have on that?
First of all, I'm not actually sure if they are available here.
Where are you?
I'm in France.
You don't sound like you're from France.
Yeah. I'm not, but we live in France.
Yeah, you can. So I have. I know Dogtra, the company that I use, they have a European distribution. They have Dogtra Europe, and so I would imagine they.
Right. Well, I can go and check that out. Then, is there any particular one?
Yeah, I would get any. I'm not sure what they have. I think they have my unit in Europe. I would get the 280C because it has 280C. It's the cheaper one and it also has the highest vibration. My unit, okay. If you can get my unit, I would suggest that. It's the Tom Davis No Bad Dogs unit. But yeah, and that's what I would start with is that alternatively you could do it to you could do other things. I just, you know, I'm really big on all the dog training I've ever done. All the training that I've ever done is built off of evidence and efficiency. Like there is no, I don't recommend anything for any other reason. Like these are the things that work. The other thing that you could do, like let's say today, is get yourself a long line, which is really helpful in situations like this. You get a long line, which is like a 20 to 30 foot long line. And
yeah, we have one. Yeah, and unfortunately, we put him on that, and he just zoomies all over the place, and then he'll run at you.
But what about when you're trying to leave an area? Would that matter? I mean, if I'm picturing me turning around and walking and getting away from him, and he runs towards me, I'd be like, okay, perfect. Like, why would you have a problem with him zooming in around as long as he's listening to you?
So we live in a very rural environment. We're surrounded by woodland and fields, and we have a lot of deer and boar and all manner of other creatures, which are, you know, he has a very high prey drive, and the chances of him disappearing off and not coming back at the moment. So we are doing a lot of work on recall. He does have off leash time with my husband.
Okay.
After all of this redirection nonsense has happened, I am, as I said to you, I've kind of lost some confidence a bit, and I'm really uncomfortable with the idea of Oban being off leash, even on the long line, running at me full pelt, jumping on me, knocking me out. And then disappearing off into the woods and not coming back.
Yeah, no, I get it. Okay, so because the only reason why I was mentioning the long line is because it opens up a lot of dogs where they get stagnant and pushy and hard, where they're like, I don't want to go, and they kind of fight. So if you take away their leverage, which is you, so let's say you're out in a field or in your garden or anywhere. And you say, hey, we're going to go. If he's 4 to 6 feet from you, he's going to jump on you. And he stops everything. So he's like, oh, I know how to stop this. It's like my son who, when we put him down for bed, and he's like, and he just thinks of literally anything just to stay up. He's like, what about, you know, you could see him like, it's like, no, we're gone.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, right? He's jumping. He's like, I'm going to end this. I'm going to stop this to my benefit. I don't want to do this, whatever. And so the long line just allows you to disassociate yourself with him. And the thing that gets you to, that he wins with is the physicality of jumping on you and stopping what you're doing, you know, and that's what you're doing. It's like if you were writing something down on a piece of paper and he came up and hit you, and every single time he hit you, you can't write. It's the same thing. You want to do something and he's causing you not to do it. And so if you step away and you move away from him, that sometimes is helpful. But again, I totally understand having a large dog run after you and take you out is also not fun. So I get it. When he's jumping on you and you correct him with the prong, can you just explain to me, like, how is it, is he just too strong where the prong doesn't matter to him?
I would say both.
Okay.
The other day when he redirected on me, as I said, I didn't have a prong collar on him, I had a flat collar. Mm-hmm. And I literally had to put my fingers under the collar and twist it just to try and have any control and to stay on my feet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, shit, I'm strangling the dog type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he did calm down eventually.
Yeah.
And then he just shook himself and then off we went as if nothing had happened.
That makes sense. I mean, that's you know, it's that's the dog you got. I mean, that's just how it is. They're not super sensitive, gentle giants. That's for sure. I mean, they're big, aggressive, and pushy, and yeah. Anyway, so that's what I would recommend. I mean, that's honestly like the number one thing that I could recommend in that situation. And to me, it's that simple. Like, he jumps up, and right now, like, he jumps up to stop you from doing what you want to do. And it sounds like you're doing all the right things, right? So a lot of people I talk to, I have to spend time talking about, yeah, don't have a conversation with them. Don't scream. Don't yell. Turn your back. Walk away. You're doing all those things. You're already doing the right things. This to me, sounds a very simple concept and formula. He's jumping on you to stop doing what you want him to do. And the correction or the enforcement or the accountability you're using, he doesn't care about. It's that simple. You rob a bank. He slaps your wrist. Thank you very much. Where's my money? So to me, that's the next step. And I can't see him not doing well with that. And then just as a sidebar, I don't know how much you know about remote collar training, but remote collar training in general is a great way, especially if you have all this, it sounds like rural agricultural areas around you. You know, if you do, it's obviously your dog, whatever you want to do. I'm just saying having the dog having access to these outdoor areas, even if you didn't purposely let him off leash, I could probably say at some point this dog is going to get off leash without your permission, whether it's, you know, an accident or your husband, whatever. And so doing proper remote collar training with a dog this size, that's this powerful and then has this much room to run potentially, I would just do the basic like whole reset on remote collar training to start you off on the right foot. I mean, that's changed. You know, I started using remote collars the day my dog played chicken with me in my life with the train. I said I never knew anything about e-collars. All I knew is my dog almost killed me and him at once, and that's how I got into them, right? So remote collars, even with my now new dog, which is very, very similar to your dog, he's too big, he's too powerful. You can't really hurt him, you can't touch him, you can't do anything. I mean, I could haul off and just kick him in his ribs and he would be like, "What's up?" You know, like let's say my dog turned into a vicious killer and he was killing another animal, and I walked up and kicked him in the side of the head as hard as I could. He would not care. You know what I mean? So my point is mm-hmm. you physically can't touch these dogs in a way that they care about. So when you're trying to, and again, I'm always clear about when you're correcting a dog, it's supposed to be uncomfortable for them. The goal is for them to go, "I don't like that." And you say, "Well, every time you do this, this happens." And they go, "I don't want to do it." And you go, "Perfect. We're never going to see it again." So when you're dealing with these big, strong dogs that you can, you know, hit on the back of the head and they just look at you like, "What?" Using the remote collar to effectively communicate with them, not because you want to turn up the voltage and cause any more distress or pain to the dog. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is dogs respond much, much, much differently than modern remote collar training than they do any type of physicality, because they just they're that brute force. So anyway, so my suggestion, just in general, because you have such a big, strong, powerful, stubborn, pushy dog, is to just do the whole gamut of the remote collar training, and the difference is. The first time I introduced the remote collar in this conversation was just what I call intervention, which you're just using the e-collar pager as a correction, so it discourages, right? But the remote collar, modern remote collar training and using it to condition a dog off leash takes knowledge, skill sets, and practice. But once you have it, you have the ability to communicate with your dog wirelessly, which is, even if you don't let them completely off leash, it's nice in your house. It's nice when you do go outside, because let's say you're in your garden, you tell him to down and he flips you off. Now you have the remote collar that can touch him a half a mile away to enforce it, which nothing else in the world can. So,
yeah. I get it.
Yeah. I would just say, just in general, I would personally just start diving into remote collar training with such a big, powerful dog?
I've never... I grew up with working gun dogs back in the day, you know, before remote collars were even a thing. So I do understand the how much your world with your dog opens up when you know that they are listening to you and they can go and they will come back and you can send them to find things. So I really can see the potential. I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, I understand.
You have courses, don't you?
I do. I have a lot of... Here's what I would recommend. I can send you an email of a list of places to start, and it really starts with my free YouTube videos, just to give you a sense of how everything works, how other people use them, how I use them, and why it's different and why it's better. And it's not just me, it's just my style. I had actually adopted my style of e-collar training from another company, so it's not proprietary to me, it's just the way I like to do it. So I can send you a bunch of free YouTube videos on where to start, and then I can send you the course, and then I can send you the equipment that I suggest to get. And once you get into it, it's actually pretty easy to do. And I can't count the amount of emails that I've gotten from people saying, I watched all your stuff on YouTube and trained my dog off leash, and now they're off leash.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's what I would recommend for you.
Right.
I also...
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, it makes perfect sense. And as I said to you, I did wonder if you would recommend the e-collar simply because I've seen, obviously follow your channel. So I've seen the way, and I remember the Doberman one and the man telling you, get that fucking thing off my dog. So I know that the way that they are used is very, very broad. And I feel nervous about it, but you've got to push yourself out of your comfort zone for your dog's sake as well. So yeah, I think this is probably the best fit for us where we are, because the last thing I want to do is for Oban to end up going overboard with this and becoming reactive,
yeah,
and being a dog who has gone from having a little bit of a crinkle that we need to iron out to a dog that has a big problem.
Yeah. Yep. I that's why I'm suggesting it, because I've seen it go that way many, many, many times. And right now, I mean, you know what, like I said this earlier, or kind of mentioned it, is that you have the best case scenario ever. You're not getting the redirective out of frustration and aggression towards other dogs, and you're not getting the biting in the hospitals and the vet bills. You're just getting, I think, a pushy dog that's trying to take advantage of you, and it's happening simply because he's bigger and stronger than you, and that's it. Period. So you have to, you know, you're going to have to use something that can actually, you know, help you in these situations. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
And where are you originally from? You sound very Northern England, almost Scottish, but not.
I'm Scottish.
Are you?
I am.
Yeah. Well, the way that your words were to me very English, but your accent was very Scottish. So that's why I thought maybe you were like, you know, way up in like Leeds or something. I don't know.
That's not Northern England. No, I've lived and worked abroad for the majority of my life. So that's why my accent's a bit strange, I think.
Yeah. Cool. Well, listen, what I can do, Jane, is I can send you all the things that I just recommended so you have them. Like, I can email them right now and then take a look at it and then just dive into that.
Brilliant. that sounds like we have a plan, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to jump on the call this afternoon.
Of course.
Yeah, it's been really, really good. I look forward to seeing you in France one day.
Yeah, I didn't train in France, but we did go to France last year after the UK, because we are going to go to England this year again. But yeah, we'd like to go to France. We went to Paris for a little bit, and it was crazy. We'd like to go to like south of France or something like that, but we'll figure it out.
Well, I know that you did training in you were in Lisbon, you were in Portugal
yes.
last year as well, the Netherlands, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're bouncing. Oh, we're bouncing around. Maybe we'll be there.
Well, I'll just need to make sure that I keep my eye out. And if you do pop up, we'll come and see you.
Cool.
And have a session.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. RJ, thank you very much, Tom.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. And I will look forward to receiving all of this information from you when you have time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Cheers.
Okay. Bye, Tom. Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.